Now, several days ago, a mysterious video came out talking about the punishment that awaits in purgatory for those that choose cremation when they die. Four or five of you have emailed me asking me about this. And the question is, did St. Carlo Acutis have this vision or not? And is it true? We're going to talk about that in today's video. You may not like the answer. Please stick around for it. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, before we continue, let's listen to what this video has to say.
Did you know that Blessed Carlo Acutis had such a disturbing vision about cremated souls that he couldn't sleep or eat for days? What he witnessed in this mystical revelation forever changed his understanding of the human body's destiny and the suffering that few souls manage to endure. In the deepest mystical writings of Blessed Carlo Acutis, we find revelations that the Church has kept silent for years. Among these extraordinary visions is one that profoundly marked the young saint: direct knowledge of the suffering experienced by souls when their bodies are given to cremation fire. This is not a common teaching you hear in Sunday homilies. It's knowledge reserved for those who have the courage to delve into the darkest mysteries of spiritual life. Carlo, in his mystical ecstasies, witnessed the indescribable pain that the soul experiences when its earthly temple is consumed by flames that don't purify, but torment. Original documents from the shrine in Assisi reveal details that few know. Testimonies from people who witnessed the saint's state after these visions, entire days of crying, desperate prayers for unknown souls, and urgent warnings about decisions families make without understanding their eternal consequences. If you feel called to protect your soul and those of your loved ones, write Carlo Enlighten Me in the comments. Stay connected until the end, because you'll discover the specific prayer that Carlo himself used to alleviate this suffering. Before we begin, strengthen your faith, like if you seek truth no matter how painful it may be, and subscribe if you wish to protect your eternal destiny. On August 15, 2003, in the deep silence of room number 7 of St. James Hospital in Connecticut, Carlo Acutis experienced one of the most disturbing visions of his mystical life.
Okay, now the first thing that I want to say, that whoever wrote the script for that video is quite gifted. So it definitely sucks you in, and I could see why many of you are worried. First of all, you can tell that this is AI. Now, I'm going to give my opinion on AI at the end of the video, but first, let's talk about that. Now, I have read his mother's own book on St. Carlo Acutis. The book is called My Son Carlo. It's amazing. I would say it's the authoritative book that tells everything that happened to him, every vision, everything that he experienced that there is to be known, she wrote about. So if it's not there, it didn't happen, and the person, I would say, is making it up. So that would be your first source. Whenever you hear this type of thing, you want to go to original sources by the saint themselves, by the mother, by someone who is extremely close, not someone who's just investigating and like authoritative because they're a theologian, but someone who was as close as possible. So for instance, if you want to learn about St. Francis of Assisi, you should read the book by St. Bonaventure, one of the closest saints in the Franciscans to him. Now, when you read the book by his mother, My Son Carlo, and you search for the dates or the quote or the name of the hospital or of a vision or any of that, guess what you find? Nothing. There's none of this. She speaks of no such vision that he had. Now, he did have a vision at the age of 4 of his grandfather. So this is true. He had an early vision of his grandfather in purgatory. There are other detailed things that he had, but he had no mentioned vision that it says here in the video. So strike one against it. Now, another strike against it is when you look up St. James Hospital in Connecticut. Now, I want you to go do that. St. James Hospital in Connecticut. Could you hear in the video that there's all of a sudden this pause? He was in room 7, St. James Hospital. The AI starts glitching. There is no such hospital as St. James Hospital. It doesn't exist. So whenever you're getting information like this, There's a lot of it out there. Go for the lowest common denominator. What's the easiest way for you to see that, hey, this is false. This is not true at all. Okay. So now I've shown you with two examples that this is a false video using AI just to generate views. Okay. And by the way, this is real flesh and blood. This is not AI. It is AI, Alvaro Interiano, but it's not artificial intelligence. So this is the real AI right here. Now, when you go to this information, what does the church say about cremation and the state of your soul afterwards? It has some interesting things to say. The answers are a little bit surprising. Listen to this most recent document. Now, this is from a document that's come out, I think, in the last 5 to 10 years. In circumstances when cremation is chosen because of sanitary, economic, or social considerations, this choice must never violate the explicitly stated or the reasonably inferred wishes of the deceased faithful. The church raises no doctrinal objections to this practice, since cremation of the deceased body does not affect his or her soul, nor does it prevent God in his omnipotence from raising up the deceased body to new life. Thus, cremation in and of itself objectively negates neither the Christian's doctrine of the soul's immortality, nor that of the resurrection of the body. So as the church typically says, there's some yes and there's some no. It does not go against the church's teaching, but we also have to understand the reasons behind the person doing it. So let's keep listening. The church continues to prefer the practice of burying the bodies of the deceased. So that is the church's preference. This should be our first choice. Why? It explains. Because this shows a greater esteem towards the deceased. There can be very easily a tendency in cremation of implying that the body is not worth anything, that we're just ashes. Now, although we are dust and to dust we shall return, cremation in some ways, and we could all understand this, gives this sense of a lower importance of the body. Oh, it's just the body. And we do not want to convey this message, so we should prefer burying the bodies of the deceased. Nevertheless, it's not prohibited. There's many things that the church has like this, that this is preferred, but not prohibited, unless it was chosen for reasons contrary to Christian doctrine. So in the history, Romans would do cremation because they didn't think that the body had any value. And when Christianity began rising up and they began persecuted, they would cremate people specifically to say, ha, see, there is no resurrection of the body because cremation stops us. So it was a way to insult the Christian view of the body. And so for many years, the church forbade, I don't know what the correct grammar is, it didn't allow cremation. That's why it didn't allow it. When for legitimate motives, cremation of the body has been chosen, the ashes of the faithful must be laid to rest in a sacred place, that is in a cemetery or in certain cases in a church or an area which has been set aside for this purpose and so dedicated by the competent ecclesial authority. So another question maybe people don't ask is, you need to be buried in a place that's either explicitly Catholic or Christian, or at the very least that the ground that you're buried in is blessed, because your body, as our relics of saints, is holy, okay? And we need this idea more than ever in today's world. From the earliest times, Christians have desired that the faithful departed become the objects of the Christian community's prayers and remembrance. The whole reason why this channel's here. Their tombs have become places of prayer, remembrance, and reflection. The faithful departed remain part of the church who believes in the communion of all the faithful of Christ, those who are pilgrims on earth, the dead who are being purified, souls in purgatory, and the blessed in heaven, all together forming one church. The reservation of the ashes of the departed in a sacred place ensures that they are not excluded from the prayers and remembrance of their family or of the Christian community. It prevents the faithful departed from being forgotten. So you're not going to be the only one praying for that deceased person. There will be many others. And when people are buried in a cemetery, you're publicly exposed, so to speak, that others can see you. Whenever I go to cemeteries to pray for those that are deceased, if they weren't buried there and their tombs weren't there with their names written there, I couldn't see them and pray for them, and neither could you. So it allows others to pray for them, that where we are laid to rest become places of prayer. And we want this. You want this. Trust me. You want this. Now, the last point, and this is really important, for the reasons given above, the conservation of the ashes of the departed in a domestic residence in your house is not permitted. So it may be the case that video I was telling you was false, if it did happen, which from all the evidence, it's not true. But if someone is cremated and they are in purgatory for that reason, it may be because they are not buried in a sacred place, that they are being reserved and perhaps are doing atonement because they chose that, or for some other reason that we may not know. Only in grave and exceptional cases dependent on cultural conditions of a localized nature, basically hardly ever, may the ordinary, the local bishop, in agreement with the Episcopal Conference or the Synod of Bishops of the Oriental Churches, concede permission for the conservation of the ashes of the departed in a domestic residence. So only if your bishop gives you permission and it's agreed by like all the other bishops, never going to happen, may you keep the ashes of a loved one in your house. You should never do this. Nonetheless, the ashes may not be divided among various family members, and due respect must be maintained regarding the circumstances of such a conservation, which is not going to happen. Look, if you're going to keep the ashes of a loved one in your home, you're not going to sit there and show reverence every time you go by it. You're going to start treating it like a plant. And it's not a plant, it's a beloved person's body, which is sacred. So it should be buried. So point number one, that video was most likely false. Number two, the idea is partially true. Cremation is not preferred. Being buried is preferred. Cremation may be allowed in certain cases. As long as you respect the body and that it's buried, you may not cremate and keep it, the person, in your house. What will happen if you do this? We don't know. It doesn't say. We're not clear. But I would say it's at least some type of sin that that person may be atoning for. We don't know. But that's possible, and we may have to atone for it when we go to purgatory. Now, closing, my thoughts on AI. When God created artificial intelligence, the angels, angelic intelligence, a third of them fell and became demons. So my guess is, of all the AI, a third of it is going to turn evil, just like the angels did. So if God did that and a third of his creation fell, at least a third of AI is going to turn evil. So that is clear. We've seen that pattern in the past. God creates AI. We try to create AI. The same thing's going to happen. So we should pray for the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to guide us, humanity, in doing that. We should be careful, for sure. Towards the end of the month, on October 24th, 25th, and 26th, my friend Kendra, Patrick, and Joy Campbell, and myself will be leading a retreat at Rosa Mystica Shrine. Here's the information. If you want to go to sign up, you could attend physically and or virtually. Go check it out. It will be awesome. And please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.